Vermont's upcoming presidential and city council elections will be held on a scheduled date as planned. Iranian president inaugurated a powdered milk producing complex in Charmahal Bakhtiari province. Illegal Western sanctions will not stop progress of Iran's booming petrochemical industry. And clashes continue between Turkish protesters and the police. Iran's interior minister says the upcoming presidential and city and rural council elections will be held under scheduled date as planned. Mustafa Mohammad Najar said the results of the June 14 votes will also be announced at the earliest. The Iranian ministry added certain inspectors have been charged with monitoring over 67,000 polling stations across the country. Nearly 50.5 million Iranians are eligible to vote in the upcoming presidential elections, out of which about 1.6 million are first-time voters. Iranians will go to the polls in the country's 11th presidential elections on June 14. The fourth city and rural council elections are also scheduled to be held on the same day. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has inaugurated a powdered milk producing complex in the city of Shahrakort in the southwestern province of Charmahal Bakhtiari. The newly inaugurated projects aim to meet domestic needs as well as those of neighboring states. The project has created 240 job opportunities in the province. The powdered milk factory is capable of annually producing 10,000 tons of powdered milk that would annually save 40 million euros for the country. Meantime, the president inaugurated 1,765 17,650 residential units in the city of Shahrakort. President Ahmadinejad also inaugurated a 1,375-meter-long tunnel between the cities of Isfahan and Shahrakort. Iran Deputy Oil Minister says illegal Western sanctions will not stop the progress of Iran's booming petrochemical industry. Abdul Hussein Bayot added Iran's petrochemical products are now exported to five continents, and demand for the country's petrochemical production is increasing due to their quality and variety. Bayot said last year Iran exported 16 million tons of petrochemical products worth $12 billion to different countries. The remark came a day after the U.S. Treasury Department issued a statement announcing sanctions against eight Iranian petrochemical companies. The illegal U.S.-engineered sanctions were imposed based on the unfounded accusation that Iran is pursuing non-civilian objectives in its nuclear energy program. Iran rejects allegations, arguing that, as a committed signatory to the NPT and a member of the IAEA, it has the right to use nuclear technology for peaceful purposes. More than 100,000 Turkish protesters have gathered at Istanbul's Taksim Square calling for the resignation of Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan. The move came as part of the ongoing protests against the government's decision to demolish Gezi Park and replace it with an Ottoman-era military barracks to be used as a shopping mall. Police forces clashed with protesters using tear gas and water cannons. Thousands of people also took to the streets in other cities, including capital Ankara, Izmir, Muğla, and Antalya, in support of the protesters in Istanbul. Elsewhere, a group of protesters attacked Turkish Prime Minister's office in Istanbul with stones. Meanwhile, Syrian Information Minister said Turkey's Prime Minister is terrorizing his own people, calling on the Premier to resign his post. Umran al-Zubi said Recep Tayyip Erdogan is leading his country in a terrorist way, destroying the civilization and achievements of the Turkish people. A barrage of rockets fired by foreign-backed militants in Syria has hit Lebanon's eastern Bekaa region near the Lebanese border with Syria. Most of the rockets struck Nebi Street and Sarin regions, leaving several people injured. Four people have been arrested on suspicion of having links to the attacks. Foreign-backed rebels in Syria have been blamed for the rocket attacks on Lebanese border areas. Last week, a girl lost her life and a woman sustained injuries after three mortar rounds fired by militants in Syria struck near the eastern town of Hermel in Bekaa region. The United Nations says a wave of violence in Iraq left a toll of 1,045 people dead and 2,397 injured in the month of May. The report comes after the UN envoy to Iraq, Martin Kobler, warned that systemic violence is ready to explode at any moment. He also urged Iraq's political leaders to engage immediately to pull the country out of this mayhem. On May 28, Iraqi Prime Minister vowed to hunt down all the terrorists linked to the recent deadly violence. Nouri al-Maliki said the motive behind the bloodshed was to return the country to the dark days of the past decade. Civil service employees in Greece have gone on a strike after holding a protest against an anti-liberal law imposed by the government. Teachers, maritime workers, transport employees, and union members who are affected by the law took part in demonstrations in capital Athens. My colleague has more details.
Following consecutive mobilization orders issued by the Greek government to prevent seamen, teachers, doctors and other social groups to strike against austerity policies meant to trim the public debt to GDP ratio and put the economy back on track, public servants and other affected groups took to the streets to protest policies that impede workers from striking. Labor and individual rights are being bashed with these measures, workers explained to IRIN TV, pointing to the fact that the tripartite coalition government currently in power has adopted authoritarian public policy tactics every time people go on strike. In the meanwhile, the head of the Eurogroup, Göran Dijsselbloem, who is currently visiting Athens, met with Prime Minister Antonis Samaras and Finance Minister Yanis Tournaras to discuss the debt-strapped country's effort to get deeper into structural reforms, curb tax evasion and spur development. Greece has been relying on funds from international creditors as bailouts since May 2010. The initial emergency loans have provided only a minimal space and time for the country to get back on its feet, yet tax hikes, salary cuts and pension slashes have brought the Greek economy to its knees, plummeting private spending, investment propensity and taxation recipes. Workers from the education, healthcare and public transport sectors who have previously received civil mobilization orders from the government, practically impeding them to go to strike, have gathered today here on Sinema Square raising their voice against protracted austerity. As they say, these type of practices practically impede the democratic rule of law in the country, leaving the window open for some new authoritarian measures. Lucas Romanos, Shabaka Kabar, Aten.
Security forces have used pepper spray against thousands of anti-austerity and anti-capitalist protesters who had gathered for a second day of demonstrations in Germany's fifth largest city of Frankfurt. Some 5,000 demonstrators belonging to the Blockupy movement marched in Frankfurt on Saturday in protest against the worsening financial conditions of Europe, holding the so-called Troika of the European Commission, the International Monetary Fund and the European Central Bank responsible for the current crisis by dictating policies to EU governments. Protesters accused of their government of punishing the poor by imposing austerity measures. A spokesman of Blockupy said the policies of the European Central Bank and a Troika are not the solution.
We are demonstrating against the uncontrolled and undemocratic power of the financial markets, which is destroying humanity.
At least seven people have been killed in an airstrike carried out by a U.S. assassination drone in southern Yemen. The raid took place on Saturday after the U.S. drone fired missiles at two vehicles in Abyan province. Several others were also reportedly injured in the attack. Washington has come under fire for increasing the drone attacks in Yemen, where the people have held many demonstrations to condemn the violation of Yemen's sovereignty. Reports say the U.S. drone attacks in Yemen almost tripled in 2012, surging from 18 to 53. U.S. officials claim that the airstrikes target militants, but local sources say civilians have been the main victims of the attacks. Pakistan's newly elected lawmakers have taken oath as the 14th National Assembly meets for the first time. The session was held under tight security measures, massive energy shortages, a badly ailing economy, and the lingering deadly militancy in the country are to be among the major challenges that the new lawmakers are facing. In a statement, the National Assembly Secretariat said the election of Speaker and Deputy Speaker will be held on June 3. President of Pakistan Muslim League Nawaz Sharif, will be sworn in as Prime Minister on Wednesday, June 5. Pakistan held elections on May 11. Nawaz Sharif won 176 seats as the previously ruling Pakistan People's Party secured only 39. Violent battles between Pakistan Army troops and pro-Taliban militants have claimed the lives of at least 25 people in a troubled northwestern Karam tribal region. The casualties come after heavy fighting in the wake of a fresh military push in central Karam agency early on Saturday. Pakistani military officials said at least two military personnel and around 23 militants were killed in the fierce fighting in the remote region. The Pakistan Army has formally launched a full-fledged operation in central Karam during past 3 weeks. However, despite the Pakistani government's operations, the militants have spread their influence in various regions of the country and killed thousands of people. At least four firefighters were killed and five others injured while battling a massive blaze at a hotel in southwest of Houston, Texas. According to the local medical examiner, three firefighters died at the scene and the other died at the hospital. The fire broke out at a club restaurant and spread to a motel before being extinguished about 2 hours later. The cause of the blaze was not known yet.
They were risking their lives to save our community. Unfortunately, the building had much more fire in it than what we originally had thought. The structure collapsed, and our members, while trying to save lives, were trapped.
Emergency officials in the U.S. state of Oklahoma were Saturday assessing the human and material costs after a violent burst of thunderstorms and tornadoes swept across the Midwest overnight, killing at least nine and injuring dozens. Muddy floodwaters stood several meters deep in the countryside surrounding Oklahoma City. Torrential downpours followed for hours after twisters moved east, and water damage was reported at the city's airport.
Right now, and this is a preliminary number, we're sitting at seven. The medical examiner's office will have to establish the official numbers. We believe we have seven right now, and all those individuals came from that area that I defined a few minutes ago. We also believe that preliminary information indicates that most of those victims, if not all, came out of vehicles.
And finally, investigators sift through the debris on Saturday to find out what caused an explosion in the Philippines' capital, Manila. A huge explosion hit an apartment block leaving at least six people dead and five others wounded late Friday.
We still cannot find what caused the explosion. All forensic evidence was checked by the Bureau of the Fire Protection and the police, and others are checking Unit 501 and the nearby units.
And that's a wrap for now. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Till then, take care and have a very great time. Goodbye now.